We have come to learn just how poorly military veterans are treated by the U.S. government via the disgraceful performance of Veterans Affairs, and that's just one example. My guest with his new book reveals just how poorly equipped many active troops in Afghanistan have been, how their dedication to duty and will to survive motivates them in battle, and what the cost of what these heroes were forced to face truly is. That's a part of the story you don't often hear about until now. His book is Dead Men Risen, an epic story of war and heroism in Afghanistan. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for the Sunday Times of London, Toby Harnden. Good morning, Toby.
Hi. Thanks a lot. Good to be with you.
And Toby's website, the obvious location, tobyharnden.com. What you do and what you present in Dead Men Risen, you follow one specific troop. You had access to really a tremendous amount of access, not just to the humans, but the world and the realms around them. The Welsh Guards, you followed them in Afghanistan in 2009. Talk about what the troop is. Were they, as the military brass call, the grunts? Were they an elite troop? Talk about what their status or abilities, capabilities were all about.
Yeah, good, great question. They were a regular. The Welsh Guards are a regular infantry regiment in the British Army, full time. It's not like the National Guard. It's full time volunteers, and they're interesting because they have a sort of a dual role. One of them is ceremonial. So these are the guys with the big bearskin hats that you see outside Buckingham Palace, trooping the colour and all that. But when I was embedded with them, I was with them in Helmand province in southern Afghanistan, and they were fighting there, you know, in the irrigation canals and in the fields and in the dust. So they were effectively like grunts, if you like, at that stage.
Now, you would, the layperson would think common sense, if you have even an intermediate awareness of military history, Afghanistan is one of the least friendly fighting turfs that you can possibly imagine. I mean, it probably outranks Vietnam and the jungles as far as the torture and the challenges it presents. So one would assume that troops are properly equipped, properly trained, and properly cared for if something goes wrong. But as you share in Dead Men Risen, that certainly was not the case.
That's right, and I found it quite shocking. I wasn't expecting it when I went out there. But, the book is set, Dead Men Risen is set in the summer of 2009, which was actually a pivotal moment in the war there. It was there were 10,000 British troops in Helmand province, and they were overstretched and under-equipped. There weren't enough helicopters. The counter-IED equipment was behind the Taliban technology because they were using improvised explosive devices with low metal content, using graphite and plastic components. Yeah, the British were using metal detectors to try and find them. And a lot of the vehicles were not suitable for the terrain. There were sort of tracked vehicles that were designed to go off-road, which were actually driving down sort of narrow, channeled routes, and they were inadequately armored. So it was really a case of the British going in there in 2006 in Helmand with a sort of optimistic view. It was a defense minister who famously, expressed hope that not a single bullet would be fired. And, of course, many millions of bullets have since been fired since then. So, the reason the U.S. Marines went into Helmand in 2009 was really to rescue the British who didn't have the resources to carry out the fight there. And the story of Dead Men Risen is the unit, the battle group, that was sort of holding the line, if you like, for when the U.S. Marines arrived.
And we certainly know after the fact, too, General McChrystal, as an example, he called for more troops, just as the current administration said, you're getting less and you need to do more, which that doesn't work in the business world and certainly doesn't work in the world of the military. Yet with everything that was against them, everything they were facing, the men of that troop, was there any crack, any weakness? It just seems like every instant they just had this total commitment to duty and to what the job was.
Well, they did. And, I mean, they lost their commanding officer, who's actually a friend of mine, Lieutenant Colonel Rupert Thornlow, who's the first battalion commander to be killed in action. British battalion commander since the Falklands War of 1982. They also lost company commander, platoon commander, and it was the first time a British battalion had lost officers at those three levels of leadership since the Korean War. But what I tried to do in the book was represent the sort of reality of war. And there are some instances actually there of cowardice, people who, you know, when the moment came, and sometimes it was unexpected, you'd have the guys that, you know, everyone thought were sort of rock solid, and they were the ones who didn't sort of step up to the plate. I mean, it was a small number. And then you had the opposite. You had the guys that, you know, back at the barracks sort of seemed maybe a bit kind of, you know, weak or didn't quite sort of fit in, and they became absolute heroes. So it's certainly soldiers react differently in combat and sometimes in unexpected ways. So there is the sort of reality of it that's represented there. And also a phenomenon that I hadn't really been aware of, which is different from PTSD, although it can sort of feed into PTSD later on. But there was a real issue amongst British soldiers and the Welsh Guards that I was with battle shock, where you actually had soldiers who just reached their limit and sort of couldn't take it anymore. And a number of them went into sort of a frozen panic. There was one who sort of curled up in the fetal position and had to be sort of carried off and loaded onto a helicopter. Now, this doesn't mean they weren't brave, because sometimes they performed with extraordinary bravery up until that point. But for you know, a lot of these soldiers, they were reaching a limit, and at that point of they couldn't go on anymore. Some of them actually sort of fell into this battle shock situation.
All right, Toby Harnden, who was Washington bureau chief for the Sunday Times of London, Dead Men Risen, an epic story of war and heroism in Afghanistan, TobyHarnden.com, on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Well, that's the thing, too, with what you do with Dead Men Risen. You remind us that these aren't machines out there in the battlefield. These are human beings, and too often those in command and those who are back home watching family and just people who watch the news, we tend to forget that. We think of the mechanical versus the heart and the flesh.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, being out there with them was a big sort of help with this. But what I wanted to do was sort of paint a portrait of these soldiers as people and not as just soldiers. Because I find that a lot of sort of war books and war writing can just be just about what happens on the battlefield. And these people are almost like two-dimensional. So certainly the combat is the core of the book, but I also examine sort of who these people were, what sort of background they came from, what lives they'd led before, and also there are sections about sort of what happened on the home front, so that, you know, the knock on the door of the wife who is about to become a widow, the funerals sometimes in tiny little villages in Wales, where the whole village would turn out, the sort of panic and paranoia amongst the families, and of course these days often they're in communication with the troops, so they'll be on the phone and they'll hear gunfire in the background, or there'll be, you know, Facebook messages, and the soldiers finding out that comrades had died in other parts of Helmand via Facebook from their girlfriends. So I try and paint a sort of a sort of nuanced picture of, as I say, soldiers as people, what happened to them before, and what happened to them afterwards. So, you know, I sort of followed them in the years after they came back.
And that's important, too, because, again, as the watcher and not the person alongside that returning hero, our end of the story visually is they're arriving at the airport, coming off the plane, you see the reunion with the family, and then period, end of sentence, as far as I call the news consumer is concerned. But the after the battlefield days for way too many of these men and women, they're not happy times by any stretch of the imagination. Many, as you point out, have the most tragic of endings.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, we've all got used to these sort of videos, which have almost become a cliche now, of troops arriving back at an airport and the sort of the loving family, you know, running into his arms or her arms and all that. And of course, you know, life often isn't like that. And I think, and I know that reintegrating for soldiers back into the family that sort of carried on without them is very, very tough. And although by no means all soldiers suffered from it, and many received treatment and are fine, there were a number of instances of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And one of the main characters in the book, a real hero out there who was shot in the back, in his body armor and huge bruise, knocked off his feet, was twice blown off his feet by improvised explosive devices, Lance Sergeant Dan Collins. I mean, he was one of the real heroes out there. And he was on the top of the world initially when he got back and I interviewed him. But he sank to the depths, and persistent nightmares, some pretty poor treatment and patchy treatment for his PTSD. And he couldn't cope with it anymore. And very sadly, on New Year's Day 2012, he hiked out to a remote quarry sort of area where he camped out as a boy and hanged himself. And he wasn't the only one.
What Toby does with Dead Men Risen, an epic story of war and heroism in Afghanistan, he presents the heart and the reality of day-to-day life, and those men and women on the battlefield don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow, but they fight on, sometimes with not everything they need to do the fight, and much less win the fight. And also what Toby does, too, he helps you understand why we have to do everything we possibly can to make sure that these men and women have every possible thing that they need emotionally, physically, and every other realm of life when they return, because too many of them come back as broken individuals that need a lot of repair that they are not getting. And that's because mainly through a lack of understanding. But Toby, with his book, Dead Men Risen, helps you and hopefully those in decision-making positions gain that understanding as well. Get it, read it, share it, learn from it, because it does provide important information. Learn more about Toby's work as well, TobyHardin.com. The book is Dead Men Risen, an epic story of war and heroism in Afghanistan. Toby Hardin, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thanks very much. Enjoyed it. Thank you.